Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is communicating to us today. Open the eyes of our understanding, O God, that we may come away with the knowledge and the insights that you want us to have. In Jesus' name. So this morning's message is, faith activates God's power. There are some things that God will not do other than through faith. For example, entering into the grace of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God's made abundant provision for us, but he is never pleased if we don't come to him in faith. We need to come to God in faith, believing. Believing what? Salvation, for example, that Jesus gave himself to save us as well as to heal us. And unless you enter into this provision through faith, you won't be able to receive it. Is it God's will for everyone to be saved? How do you know? Where? No. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but he's long suffering toward us. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. God wants everybody saved. However, is that going to happen? Why isn't that going to happen? Because we have a free will. We make choices. We can choose to disbelieve or not believe God. We can choose to do our own thing. In Hebrews chapter 11, go back there again, verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things that God has provided for us. What do we hope for? Well, we hope for the things that God has provided us. However, we enter into God's promises by faith. We enter his promises by faith. That's the way that God has chosen for you and I to enter. Faith is a spiritual force. And where does it come from? Where does the faith come from? Okay. Faith comes. So faith comes from the Word of God. Faith comes from the Word of God. You cannot have faith apart from the Word of God. It's a spiritual force. In John chapter 6, I believe it is. Jesus said that his words are spirit and they're life. They're a living. It's a living word. And it's a spiritual force. So it is a spiritual force, but it's a living spiritual force. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. By hearing the Word of God. Why does faith come by hearing the Word of God, do you think? Because if you didn't hear the Word, you wouldn't know what you could have faith in. You need the Word to know what to have faith in. And God's Word is filled with faith. So if I'm filled with the Word of God, the living Word of God, then I'm filled with faith. If I have no faith, I have no word. Ephesians 2:8, somebody said that earlier. What does that say? I know someone quoted it earlier. Surely, okay. Surely, why don't you tell us again? Ephesians 2:8. Amen. God's grace offers you and I eternal life, offers us healing, salvation, sozo, and we enter into that by faith. We enter in by faith. God's grace saves you, but it is by faith that you enter into that grace, by believing. The gift of God here is salvation. He's offering us salvation. For anyone who would choose to believe, God's love for us, God's grace towards us, motivated him to offer salvation to everyone. However, in order to receive this gracious gift of salvation, you have to believe. You have to believe. Now in Ephesians chapter, let's go to chapter 4 and read verse 7. Okay. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of God's gift. Each one of us. Each one of us. What did he give us? Grace. And he made faith available. See, Ephesians 4:7 could also read, to each one of us, God's unmerited favor, up to the full capacity of all that Christ has accomplished, was given to us. That would mean that the Word of God has provided everything you will ever need. And the way to enter into this abundance of blessing is through faith. We enter by faith. Faith in Jesus, faith in what Jesus has accomplished for us. Believing that Jesus is the Word of God. The Bible tells us that. That the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He took the form of flesh. And he lived here with us. The Word of God is capable of meeting every single need. And while Jesus was here, he supplied all the needs of his disciples. When they needed money, what did he do? Went fishing. Who catches fish with money in their mouth? I wish I knew where it was. God wanted to meet every single need that humanity had. He wanted to express to humanity how much he loved us. So he did something. Psalm 107, verse 20. Should be a familiar verse, but we'll read it anyway. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and healed him. Now that's done through Jesus, and it's also done through the word of God today. He sent his word and healed him. Jesus was the manifestation of God on this earth. He was God's word in the form of a person, representing God. He supplied the needs, he healed the sick, he cast out devils, and he raised the dead. He showed us what the word of God can do through a flesh and bone body here on earth. Jesus said, "The things that I do, you'll do also." The word literally destroyed the works of the devil. Amen. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So God does not have any cancer to give. God doesn't have any heart attacks to give. God doesn't have any forms of diseases to hand out. And God does not punish his sins. So as far as he's concerned, it's done. It's done. And when we enter into that provision, it's accomplished through faith. We enter into the provision of finances through faith. We enter into the provision of peace of mind through faith. We enter into the provision of healing. It's through faith. Now, that doesn't mean those things aren't going to be attacked. You know, if it was that easy, we'd all do it. But there is an enemy. The Bible's very clear that he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But God's made provision, and that's where the word comes in. If we go to James chapter 1, these should hopefully all be pretty familiar verses. But familiar isn't enough. They have to be living in you. Living. They have to be alive inside of you. In James chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness." That's the first thing you got to do. Just lay aside those things. "And receive with meekness," a humble attitude, "the implanted word," the implanted word, "which is able to sozo your soul." The implanted word means that word has got to go deep inside of us. It's got to live in us. It has to become alive with us. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and life." And the spirit life of those words has to come alive inside of us. It has to come alive inside of us. Faith comes from hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God, because each time it goes a little bit deeper. It's a supernatural thing. It's a God-ordained thing. It takes faith to believe that's true. It takes faith to do it. But the fruit of doing it means you get the benefits of his promises. You will come under attack again and again and again. Even the Apostle Paul, who saw and spoke with Jesus and had more revelation than any of us can ever hope to have, his entire life was persecuted. But he hung on to God. He spoke the word. He knew the greater is he that's in him than that filthy devil that's out. And the Bible tells us in Romans 12 to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Change your thinking. You got to change your thinking. Change your thinking. Change the way you think. Yeah, but you don't know what I have to suffer with. Change the way you think. Yeah, but you don't know how hard it is to do this. Change the way you think. You've got to change the way you think, because the things that you feed your mind on, that's what's going to grow inside. So those thought attacks that come, the Bible tells us, take them captive. Take them captive. Take them captive. Well, how do I do that? They're overwhelming. Well, you sit down with your Bible and you start to read verses that deal specifically with that thought attack. Amen. You speak those words over you. You claim them to be yours, that they belong to you, and that the enemy's not going to have victory over you. Every bit of God's word has faith in it. And if faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, you're depositing it, and you're depositing it into your spirit. How are you doing that? Well, your spirit's listening. Your spirit is listening to the things you're saying. And your mind may be bombarded by other things, but if you choose to focus that word, will become living. It'll become living. It may not be living initially inside of you, but it will come. It will come. You have God's promise for that. You have God's promise for that. And even if you have a setback, and we all have setbacks, but even if you have a setback, you don't throw in the white towel? You don't throw in the white towel. You've got to keep at it and stand against it. Because in the course of time, the enemy will give in. Even Jesus himself had to one or two times pray a second time in order for the healing to be manifest. And if he's got to do that, where does that leave us? But he tells us, my words are spirit and they're life. So you've got to lay hold of them with your spirit. Knowledge by itself, see, is not faith. You can know all kinds of scriptures, all kinds of them. But if they haven't turned into reality, if they haven't become real to you, if they're not part of, as I sometimes say, your spiritual bloodstream, then it's just frustration because you see it, but you're not getting it. And you want to get it. And so God says the way you get it is you act on the word. You act on the word. You're obedient to the word. You meditate on it until it becomes so real. And I'm going to give you a very short demonstration here of how it works. From Romans chapter 10. This is essentially the way faith comes and how it works. All right. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be sozo. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the names of the Lord shall be sozo. But you see, if you start in verse 8, the word is in you, it's in your mouth. You start to speak that word. It gets into your heart. The word of faith gets into your heart. And you start to confess it with your mouth. And what happens is, that word turns into faith. It turns into faith. Not maybe the first time you say it. Maybe not even the 10th time, but it will turn into faith. And I don't mean, a repetition that is, put in an automatic pilot. Lord is my healer, Lord is my healer, Lord is my healer, Lord is my healer. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about going over this carefully, soaking in it, memorizing it, claiming it for yourself, that this word is true. It's true. It's true. The same way you got saved. Same way you got, and when you received Christ as Savior, you did it by asking Him into your heart. That's how you got saved. Well, all of the promises essentially come in that way, unless the gifts are operating. All of the promises operate that way. You lay hold of the promise. You're in obedience to the Word of God. You can't just do what you want and be critical and nasty and so forth and say, oh, and by the way, I claim thus and so. Can't do that. You have to be walking in integrity. But as you continue to speak the Word of God into your heart, something supernaturally happens. Faith starts to grow. It starts to grow. Then it comes out of your mouth. And it produces the fruit of that promise. I believe it's in Mark chapter 4 where it gives an example of that. Mark 4. Verse 28. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain of the head. So it's a process that takes time. And you have to give yourself to it. You have to give yourself to it. But the alternative is you don't get it. And in this day and age, believe me, we need God. We need God. There's no question. Even for peace, you know, like I stopped watching the news because it's causing anxiety attacks. I mean, just there's never a bit of good news. It's all bad. So that and yet the Bible says you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast on you because he trusts in you. You know where that is?
Isaiah 26, verse
3. That's where it is. And that's the kind of promise that we need to lay hold of, that my peace is in God, my trust is in God, not in the circumstances about me. My trust is in God. My health is in God. Jesus, you are my healer. You are my healer. Your miracle healing power is working in my body right now, and that every organ is functioning normally. Every tissue is functioning as it should. Those are things that God said we can believe. We can believe. We can believe. We can trust that God means what he says and that he will do the things that he says because he cares about us. Jesus went and died on the cross so that you and I could, go, first of all, go to heaven, but also that we could live healthy and prosperous lives here. Now we need to believe that. We need to believe that and hang on to that so that we don't allow the enemy to come in, because he comes in just to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to rob your health. He wants to hurt you. He wants to destroy you. That's what he wants. He wants to take your kids to hell. Believe me, I'm telling you, he wants your kids. There's one in the scripture in Hosea 14:4. It says, I'll heal their backsliding. Well, those are scriptures that we need to pray over our children so the enemy doesn't gain any ground there. We don't want him to have our children. And right from when they're little, you know, you establish them. They may not know it, but you establish them. You're praying blessing over them and blessing over them and blessing over them. I mean, I pray blessing over him every day, every day, every day. The other two as well. But I see him more often now and pray blessing of peace and joy, mercy, the love of God, the kindness of God, the heart of God, and many other things that God tells me to pray, and because it's so important. If the Lord tarries, he's got an enemy, just like we do, and he'll go after him. Amen? Any questions? Any thoughts? Yes, Gordon.
Sure. I apologize for being a bit late. But I want to say,